Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 81 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
I would really like to see a higher turnout, though, for, you know, these county elections.
Voter turnout for the Kentucky primary election was lower than expected.
A Greenup County man has been indicted for kidnapping, rape, and sodomy in Moorhead.
A middle school student in Martin County was killed in a bicycle accident.
No cuts were necessary for the 2018-19 year at Maysville Community and Technical College.
Elwood Cottle will face off with County Clerk Kim Davis in November.
In sports, Moorhead's Baseball Eagles are facing off with Eastern in this afternoon's OBC tournament.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear tonight, lows around 54 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Greenup County man has been indicted in Rowan County for kidnapping, rape, and sodomy. 44-year-old Michael Tussey is accused of abducting a woman who was walking on Dry Creek Road in June of 2015. According to the indictment, Tussey then forced the woman to engage in sexual acts. Tussey is also charged with being a persistent felony offender. Court records indicate that Tussey pled guilty to first-degree sexual abuse of a victim under 12 in Greenup County. He was sentenced to 7 years on that charge in February of 2015, but was out on probation at the time of the incident in Rowan County. Tussey is currently not in police custody, but authorities say a warrant for his arrest has been issued.
A Lexington teen has been indicted on murder charges. WKYT reports a Fayette County grand jury handed down the indictment against 16-year-old Malachi Jackson, who is accused of shooting 15-year-old Kevin Almeida in February. Officials believe the shooting stemmed from a drug-related dispute. Jackson was arrested that night and charged with murder, assault, and robbery. Jackson is lodged in the Fayette Regional Detention Center, awaiting arraignment June 1st.
An employee of Clark County who was accused of writing 29 fraudulent checks and depositing them into her personal account has been fired. Sheriff's officials began investigating after checks allegedly written by Jennifer Adkins were deposited into her personal account beginning in December of 2016. According to her criminal complaint, investigators believe Adkins wrote 29 checks, 17 of which had forged signatures. Adkins was an employee of the Clark County Emergency Management and was the only person with access to the checking account for the local emergency planning committee. According to the Winchester Sun, the Clark County Fiscal Court voted Wednesday to terminate Adkins.
A Martin County middle school student was killed in a bicycle accident yesterday in Beauty. Sheriff John Kirk tells WSAZ the 14-year-old boy and a family member were riding their bikes about 8:30 p.m. Tuesday along Poplar Fork Road. The sheriff says the boy did not have brakes on his bike and was likely going about 50 to 60 miles per hour down a hill when he lost control in a curve and ran off the road. The boy hit a metal drain pipe in a creek and died. The family member lost sight of the boy and was unable to find him. The extended family searched, but also were unable to find him. The sheriff says the family reported the boy missing about 1 a.m. Wednesday. A deputy went to the last area the boy had been seen and found his body. The boy's name has not yet been released.
A man is dead after a head-on collision Monday in Bracken County. The Ledger Independent reports 49-year-old Alvin Parker of Independence was driving a motorcycle on Kentucky 22 when he collided with 52-year-old Darren Ramsey's Dodge pickup truck around noon. Kentucky State Police Trooper Charles Loudermilk says Parker lost control of the motorcycle. Ramsey was not injured in the crash. Parker was pronounced dead at the scene by the Bracken County coroner.
Power has been restored after a pole snapped in Ashland. Allison Barker is Corporate Communications Manager with Kentucky Power. She says the power pole snapped around 2:30 a.m.
It sparked a fire on the pole. The pole burned and was broken. The force of the pole falling caused the cross arms on some surrounding poles to break, so 5 poles altogether were affected.
1,300 customers were without power for a time, but Kentucky Power crews resolved the issue by this afternoon. The power lines fell on the busy 13th Street, closing it for several hours.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to click it or ticket. Seatbelt use in Kentucky is 86.8%, below the national average of 90.1%. Half of those killed last year in motor vehicle crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety reminds you to buckle up every trip, every time. It will save lives. Click it or ticket.
Voter turnout in Rowan County yesterday for the primaries slightly exceeded Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundgren Grimes' early predictions. While Grimes projected that about 30% of state residents would cast ballots, Rowan's turnout was at nearly 32%. County Clerk Kim Davis is disappointed that more local residents didn't vote and isn't sure why that happened.
I don't know, it was a beautiful day until the end. The rain didn't start until the end of the day, so, you know, I'm not really sure why people didn't get out and go vote.
Of Rowan County's 13,926 registered voters, just 4,447 cast ballots during Tuesday's primary.
Big campaign war chests don't necessarily equate to victories on Election Day. That's the view of the man who won yesterday's most scrutinized primary election in Rowan County. Elwood Cottle breezed to victory over three other challengers for the Democratic nod for county clerk, including David Ermold, a gay man who was denied a marriage license by current clerk Kim Davis in 2015. The situation grabbed national headlines as it went through the federal court system. Boosted by several sources from outside Kentucky, Ermold raised over $201,000 for his campaign. Cottle credits hard work for defeating his much better financed opponent.
Just getting out and knocking on the door, seeing everybody I could, was one major key. We gave out a little less than 4,000 handouts on the trail, and working in the PVA office for 21 years, I mean, I've gotten to know a lot of people in the county, and they, you know, like the way I handle them in here, and hopefully do just as well, if not better, in the clerk's office.
Cottle will face Davis in November. In seeking re-election, she was not opposed in the Republican primary.
Rowan County voters chose to keep the current circuit court clerk in place during Tuesday's primary. Clerk Kim Barker-Tabor received 1,609 votes, defeating Democratic challengers Melissa Powers and Anthony Caldwell, who received 1,462 and 377 votes, respectively. With no Republican challengers, Barker-Tabor won't need to campaign for the November election and will keep the seat through 2024. Barker-Tabor says she was glad that the legal challenge to her residency didn't affect the voters of Rowan County.
I was just very thankful that the citizens of Rowan County supported me and had faith in me and didn't listen to all of the turmoil and fall into all of that.
Barker-Tabor has worked in the clerk's office for more than 20 years. She was appointed to the position in January after her father's retirement.
Rob Hamm says he's thankful he won yesterday's Democratic primary for Rowan County's 4th District Magistrate seat. With 41.5% of the vote in the district's four precincts, Hamm defeated opponents Kelly Ford and Dale Davis. He says winning big in his home precinct of Pine Grove is what made the difference for him.
It's a large voting area, and we had two candidates from the judge's executive race running, and I think they pulled a lot of people out, and those people knew me. Those two individuals running for judge executive brought a lot out in our Pine Grove district.
Democrat judge executive winner Harry Clark and runner-up Lincoln Cottle also live in that part of Rowan County. Hamm received 183 votes in the Pine Grove precinct, while Ford got 59 and Davis 43. Hamm will meet Republican Jerry Bowen in the November general election.
The primary election in Carter County was one of the biggest in recent memory, but still didn't bring as many voters out as expected. The county has 27 precincts and 16 contested races. Many of those races had multiple candidates vying for their party's nomination. Carter County Clerk Mike Johnston says things will look a lot different in November.
When a county election, you know, you're looking at 50, between 50 and 60% when it's a county election. They probably be a lot more interested in November, because we'll pick up the city races also. But this is a very, very low turnout.
Johnston says only 26% of the county's nearly 20,000 registered voters cast ballots in Tuesday's primary.
Political newcomer Amy McGrath has officially won the Democratic nomination for Kentucky's 6th Congressional District. Her victory over Lexington Mayor Jim Gray has garnered national media attention. In her victory speech, McGrath told a crowd of supporters the election season isn't over.
We have to take this seat back from a congressman who went to Washington and forgot where he came from. Well, I never will.
McGrath is up against three-term Republican veteran Andy Barr.
Kentucky Representative Andy Barr won the 6th District Republican nomination in a landslide. The congressman defeated opponent Chuck Eddy by over 32,000 votes. Barr spoke on WKYT last night. He says he looks forward to facing Democratic nominee Amy McGrath in November.
I love competition. I think competition makes all of us better. I think competition is what everyone needs. You need it in business. You need it in politics. You need it everywhere in order to raise your game, if you will, to raise your gaze and to increase your performance. So I welcome it.
While McGrath is a newcomer to politics, Barr first entered Congress in 2013.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is ranking rest interstate areas in Carter and Rowan counties as the best in the state. The agency has an annual competition that is based on unannounced inspections. The Carter County eastbound I-64 rest area and the Rowan County westbound I-64 rest area tied for the top award. Kentucky State Highway Engineer Andy Barber says the employees who keep the rest areas clean and safe are doing their part as ambassadors for the state. The rest stops have been serving Kentucky interstate motorists for about 40 years.
Fallen Kentucky State Police troopers and officers have been remembered in a wreath lane ceremony and memorial service. In addition to the service at the agency's training academy in Frankfort, Commissioner Rick Sanders unveiled a plaque bearing the names of 6 highway patrol officers who died in the line of duty in the 1930s and 40s. The Highway Patrol was the predecessor to state police prior to 1948. The plaque will be permanently installed in the cadet barracks at the State Police Academy in Frankfort. 29 state police troopers, 1 commercial vehicle enforcement officer, and 1 water patrol officer have died in the line of duty since the agency was established back in 1948. Sanders thanked the family members gathered at the service Monday for the sacrifices they had made.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Mostly clear tonight with lows around 58 degrees. On Thursday, sunny with a high near 85. On Thursday night, mostly clear and lows around 64. For Friday, a 30% chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Mostly sunny with highs near 84 degrees. And Friday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy and lows around 67 degrees. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 78 degrees. In Lexington, 82. Ashland, 80. Winchester, 82. Inez, 82. Mount Sterling, 80. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 81 degrees.
In April, a group of riders from area high schools came to the campus of Moorhead State University for a Riders Day Out, a program sponsored by the Moorhead Riding Project. Over the next few weeks, we will feature authors and the pieces they created that day. On our feature segment today, we hear from Jonathan Burton, Anna Marie Justice, and Cody Apgar.
My name is Jonathan Burton. I am a junior from Fleming County High School, and my short story is called Edge of the World. It is inspired by a few poems by Stephanie Q, Jane Hirschfield, and Mary Howe. A man stands alone on the edge of the world, lost on a past so familiar to him. Night after night, the darkness locks his eyelids, with his white cotton curtains hanging still. His wit of what he should be slows to silence, a thought that echoes throughout his mind, and his voice being the only one left in the world. It had asked only for his strength, and he gave and gave until there was none left. His heart carried the whip marks in sadness, despite the strength it had received. He takes one final, longing look at the infinite sky, watching the sun row the moon across that ocean, claiming its throne. He hasn't seen light since the coming out of nowhere moment when nothing happens. That moment stuck with him until he took one final step into the darkness below. The wind was a shy girl who did not feel it necessary to give a howling mourn for his descent into the abyss.
Hello, my name is Anna Marie Justice, and I'm a freshman at Round County High School. And the title of my piece is The School. At school, which is really a tree, the path was purple, reduced to numbers, letters, figures without names or faces. He does not hear the teacher's instructions. He does not hear the students' chatter, but only jagged lines across the miles of half-shadows that I felt that owl quiver.
Hello, I'm Cody Apgar. I'm from Lakeside Christian Academy. And the poem I'm doing is called A Village Deaf. A village deaf, who's to blame? It was Mary Beth, they all proclaim. Annabeth, the dark soul lingers, strikes like a bee stinger. She strikes from the shade, another death by the assassin's blade. Mary Beth is hanging in the tree. What death has been brung upon thee? Now I live as a family with the mind clearance. I notice the death reappearance.
That was Jonathan Burton from Fleming County High School, Anna Marie Justice from Rowan County High School, and Cody Apgar from Lakeside Christian Academy. It's 447 and 81 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we are so glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Eagles and Colonels. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State baseball team is in OVC tournament action down in Oxford, Alabama. The event's 3-seed. The Eagles are taking on in-state rival and 6-seed Eastern Kentucky. At last check, the Eagles lead 8-4 in the 6th inning. A big 4th inning gave MSU the lead. The Eagles batted around, scoring 6 runs on 3 hits off of 3 different EKU pitchers in the inning. With a win today, the Eagles would advance to play the winner of the Southeast Missouri-Murray State game tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Meanwhile, 7 Moorhead State players have been named to this year's All-OVC baseball team. WMKY's Chuck Mirage reports on that.
2 juniors, shortstop Reed Leonard and center fielder Connor Pauley, made the first team list, while junior first baseman Trevor Snyder, junior left fielder Nico Holtzizer, and senior utility man Tyler Neiman are second teamers. MSU infielder Bryce Henser and pitcher Corey Conway earned spots on the OVC's all-freshman squad. Leonard is currently riding a school record 47-game on-base streak and is hitting .359 with 38 RBIs. He also has a fielding percentage of .983. Pauley is batting .345, which includes a .414 average in league games. He has 7 home runs and 15 doubles. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
The Cincinnati Reds will look to make it 2 in a row over Pittsburgh when they host the Pirates again tonight at 7:10. The Reds won the series opener last night at Great American Ballpark 7-2. Scooter Gennett came up big for interim manager Jim Riggleman's team, hitting a 5th-inning grand slam to put Cincinnati in cruise control.
Scooter was just outstanding. You know, that game was 7-2. It certainly felt all night like it was a lot closer than that. But I think Scooter might have hit a changeup. It seemed like that's what it was. And just a huge hit. He's got a lot of big hits for us, you know, and that's why we want him there hitting behind Joey for that reason right there.
Tonight's pitching matchup has 1-6 Homer Bailey taking the ball for the Reds. 4-2 Chad Kuhl will go for Pittsburgh. All the chips will be on the table at 6 o'clock in Frenchburg. That's when Round County will face Bath County in the title game of the girls' 61st District Softball Tournament. Round coach Larry Sloan thinks his 18-6 Lady Vikings have had a very good year, despite having to deal with some key injuries.
I try not to let it get into where I dwell on it with the kids. I always talk about closing ranks and somebody else picking up the slack. And so far, we've been able to play through that.
Bath County has a 14-14 record this season. The Lady Cats split a two-game home-and-away set with Round nearly 3 weeks ago. 6'4 point guard Malik Riddle has signed his national letter of intent with the Morehead State men's basketball program. Riddle comes to MSU from Rossville Christian Academy in Memphis, where he averaged 25 points and 12 rebounds a game during his senior season. MSU coach Preston Spradlin calls Riddle a big addition to the Eagle program.
Malik is a kid we're really excited about. Gives us a little different look on the wing. He's a very good athlete. He's got great length. He comes from a great program. He comes from a really good basketball background down in Memphis. He's played competitively on the Adidas circuit. He's a kid that we began watching and keeping tabs on last summer, and fortunate enough that he was still available when the spring came around.
24/7 Sports ranks Riddle as a three-star and the fifth-best player in the state of Tennessee. He joins fellow guard Tata Strickland and big man Sasha Suenoff in the Eagles' 2018 recruiting class. A Kentucky underclassman who's made himself eligible for next month's NBA draft thinks he'll thrive at basketball's highest level. Point guard Shea Gilgeous-Alexander says while it took some time for him to get rolling during his lone season at UK, he'll plug in quickly in the NBA.
I think I translated really well to the next level. With there being so much more space on the floor and the open court so stretched out, I feel like it only benefits me, my ability to get in the lane and make plays.
The 6'6 Gilgeous-Alexander averaged 14 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists per game for the Wildcats last season, also connecting on 40% of his 3-point tries. Game 5 of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals tips off tonight at 8:30 in Boston as the Cavaliers and Celtics will break their 2-2 series tie. With both teams just 2 wins away from making the NBA Finals, Boston head coach Brad Stevens says this is what makes the game fun.
It's best 2 out of 3 to go to the NBA Finals. Doesn't get better than that. Anybody that didn't think this was going to be tough, everything is tough. And, you know, in this deal, it's a blast to have to grit your teeth, get up off the mat, and go after it again. That's part of it. That's part of what makes these guys on both sides special. It's part of what makes the Western Conference team special. They're able to do it. They're able to block out everything that doesn't matter and go compete. And that's what we'll go do.
Boston is undefeated at home in the playoffs and have won 10 straight games in the Garden heading into tonight's game. Meanwhile, the NBA all-defensive teams were announced today. Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, Victor Oladipo, Drew Holiday, and Robert Covington were voted as the first team. Jimmy Butler, Jonte Murray, Al Horford, Draymond Green, and Joel Embiid make up the second team. NFL owners have unanimously approved a new national anthem policy that requires players to stand if they're on the field during the performance before the game, but gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the team's owners felt this was the best compromise between the players, fans, and the league.
Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful to the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We've been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that moment is an important moment.
The policy subjects teams to fine a player or any other team personnel if they do not show respect for the anthem. That includes any attempt to sit or kneel, as dozens of players have done during the past 2 seasons. Finally, in sports, the Cincinnati Bengals have started OTAs up at Paul Brown Stadium. For rookie center Billy Price, the Bengals' top draft pick, it's another chance for him to blend with his new teammates. It's a process that he says is going well.
I think guys are kind of understanding, you know, hey, I'm here to help add value to the room, especially kind of, you know, get things going in the offensive line and kind of gain that respect for the offense as well. So universally, just on the offensive side, but within the O-line room, running backs, you know, cracking jokes with Mixon and Gio. I mean, it's so far it's been really, really good.
The former Ohio State star was the 21st overall selection in the NFL draft. He recently signed a multi-year contract with the Bengals. Let's look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through 14th, and Morehead State Team Camp June 22nd through 24th. More information by calling Men's Basketball Office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed slightly higher, pairing earlier losses after the Federal Reserve said it would be comfortable letting inflation temporarily run above its inflation target. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did finish with a gain of 52.4 at 24,886.81. The S&P 500 was up 8.85 at 2733.29. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 47.5 at 7425.96. Fed officials said they would be comfortable allowing inflation to briefly run above its target as the economy continues to rebound, according to the central bank's May meeting minutes. And, of course, this eased nervousness about the Fed raising rates possibly too fast this year. And also as a result of this, the release of these minutes, the bond market was strong as bond prices rose. And, of course, the yield on bonds fell in conjunction with that. The benchmark 10-year Treasury finished today at exactly 3%. And, of course, recently it's been just above 3.1%. There was a lot of earnings news coming out today, some good, some bad. Shares of industrial conglomerate General Electric fell 7.2%, its worst one-day performance since 2009, after Chief Executive John Flannery said he expects no profit growth this year in its already stagnant power business. And also, in earnings news, Target sank more than 5.5% after it reported first-quarter earnings that missed analysts' expectations on both the top and bottom lines, the company blaming poor weather for the disappointing performance as it works to remodel many of its locations. Home improvement retailer Lowe's also missed expectations for the first quarter, reporting a rise in sales of just 0.6% versus expectations of a 3% increase. The stock rose more than 10% after it maintained its annual financial targets, and also after word came out that famed hedge fund manager Bill Ackman revealed a $1 billion stake in the company. And high-end jeweler Tiffany & Company easily beat analyst estimates. The company's stock rose more than 23% after reporting earnings per share of $1.14 versus expectations of 83 cents. It also raised its full-year guidance in light of the solid beat in earnings for this latest quarter. And in the commodities markets, oil was down 0.6% at $71.76 a barrel. Gold was up $1.20 at $1,293.20 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were weak, with the Stoxx 600 index down 1.1%, and in Asia, stocks were weak as well, with the Nikkei down 1.2% and the Shanghai Composite down 1.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and McDonald's, while the worst performers were GE and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Tiffany and Ralph Lauren, while your worst performers were Hewlett-Packard and, once again, GE. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 66 cents at 77.75, CSX up 8 cents at 63.55, Marathon Petroleum up 37 cents at 78.86, AK Steel down 7 cents at 4.49, AEP up $1.02 at 66.46, and Anthem was down $1.89 to finish at 232.04. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Taking a quick look at your region's weather, mostly clear tonight with lows around 58 degrees. Thursday, sunny with a high near 85. Thursday night, mostly clear, lows around 64. And on Friday, a 30% chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11. Mostly sunny with a high near 84 degrees. It's currently 81 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Sean Delaney, Tilden Johnson, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Logan Pemberton, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment today came from high school students at the Moorhead Writing Project's Writer's Day Out. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and Translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.